Good morning and welcome to the Fresh Start Show. Everybody get up and get ready. Get your breakfast, get your coffee, get your cappuccinos, whatever you need to get your fresh start for today. We have a guest coming today that is here with us, and his name is Roger Munchian. And he has a book called Rescued, Not Arrested. And we will be talking about that throughout the program. DeMond is in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. He's doing a keynote speaker for a trauma conference and cannot be here today. But again, he is the founder of Fresh Start. And what do we offer? Civil rights restoration, warrants resolution, misdemeanors, juvenile record expungement. We have assistance programs that are offered, marijuana conviction expungements from the record. And with the new Seal Your Record law, we are helping people that are 3 years from a non-dangerous absolute discharge to get their record sealed so that the forces that be cannot be looking into their background and prohibiting them from having a job or housing because of a background issue. Fresh Start gives people a chance to have a future where people aren't looking at their past. And we have a event coming up on May 5th at the Pima Release Center. And from 10 to 12, we're going to be offering everybody that's on parole some of the resources that are afforded those during the expo. And we're going to try to get some law students out there to work with you guys so that you can get your paperwork together. So on October 21st, Fresh Start 2023, you will be ready to go before a judge and have everything changed for your future. So May 5th, please come out and take advantage of what's there. The Pima Release Center is putting on a work resource fair. And we're going to bring some of the Fresh Start resources out there, and we're going to try to do some haircuts for some people and get them set up with some clothes and some interviews for jobs. And any of those other things that you need to get access to for mental health, for addictions, for resolutions with any of your legal issues, come on out and get some advice so that you'll be prepared for October when some judges are going to change your life. Okay, Fresh Start. This is Tom coming to you, and I'm going to introduce our guest, and our guest is Roger Munchian. As I said previously, I know Roger through a friend of mine, J. Michael Davis, who has just a heart for service for those that are incarcerated. And he is one of the mentors for the Rescued Not Arrested program in the state prison system. And when I asked J. Michael to come on the show, he said, wouldn't it be better to have the guy that wrote the book come on the show? And I said, yeah, actually, that would be a lot better. And he said, well, let me see when he's going to be in town. Well, Roger's here. And we're going to give Roger a chance to explain to the audience what Rescued Not Arrested has to offer. But more than that, in the heart of this whole program is our faith. And Roger is based and founded in that faith. And his strength comes from that faith. And when you listen to him, you're going to hear that. And you're going to hear how powerful this program is and how it has exploded over the years, and it is growing yet still because we have a voice and we're using that voice, and people are starting to hear that voice, and they're starting to know that other people care, and we value the lives of those who are incarcerated. And we don't only value them while they're in, we especially value them when they come out, because we want to be here for them to give them a future. And Roger has a program that is there from inside to outside. And I'm going to let Roger talk to you about that. Roger, come on in.
Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you and Damon and J. Michael for intervening. You know, Rescued Not Arrested simply is my life story. And I was rescued through an arrest, not the first, but the 12th. It took me a while, being thick-headed, stubborn, to get it that God's trying to rescue me from the biggest obstacle ever in my life, and that would be me. And I think if we're honest, we could all agree that we are the number one obstacle we have to overcome. So it was a manslaughter capital case in 1997 that that God used to rescue me from me. You know, being a ghetto kid from Los Angeles, striving to become some big shot, find identity in a community that was new to me. I was Armenian, born and raised in Armenia, 8 years old when we migrated into the Los Angeles projects. Dad was an alcoholic. He survived Gulag prison in Siberia, had severe PTSD, and that kind of took a toll on my mom and me. And so it was that typical story which most incarcerated are familiar with, some kind of a crazy, wild upbringing of sorts, abuse and chaos in the family. But, you know, I was striving to become somebody, so I figured I'd chase money, and money will give me all the things that I want and all the answers in my life, all the sex, drugs, and the high life. And you know what? I obtained all of that only to find out that it was a path to destruction and deception. And I only found that out because I was facing capital case in 1997 as Sheriff Joe Arpaio's Madison Street Jail on a nut chair. It's a black nut chair on wheels that they strap you in, put a mask over your face because you've lost your mind. That was me, age 25. I also like to call that my Damascus Road. God loved me enough. He wanted my passion, and he liked my gift of drug trafficking and networking and sales, but he wanted it for a better purpose. I tell everybody, you know, I used to traffic tons of weed nationwide, promote death and destruction, and now I traffic tons of Bibles nationwide, promote forgiveness and eternal life. Concept is the same, but the product has changed because my purpose has changed. I've been transformed to understand truth and my purpose. So that's kind of what Rescued Not Arrested is all about. I ended up serving only 2 years in prison. That was a blessing as well because my past caught up out of Detroit for networking and drug trafficking under the RICO statute. So there was a slew of cases that I had to overcome through God's help. But once he shaped my integrity and my character through court cases and prison sentences, I realized prison was one of the best things that's happened to me. Had it not been Lewis Prison, 2003, 2004, especially the hostage takedown during 2003, where it was lockdown for all of us, I don't think I would have ever been sitting in front of you here today and talking to you. Because that was the time I had envisioned a nonprofit organization that could go out there and help the incarcerated, not only when they're in, but when they are released. And that's exactly what we have now. 18 years later, I started passing out study Bibles. The one you got in front of you, you'd see the Zondervan Publishers NIV Life Application Study Bible that now we have custom covered through our ministry name, through the partnership of Zondervan. And we produce those in the thousands and distribute them around the world, actually, now connected to 178 countries and transporting containers into China, India, Africa. So this thing has gone from a prison cell vision into the world, and only God could do something like that. Mind you, I like to introduce myself as an ordinary, unschooled guy that hung out with Jesus, because that's exactly my credentials. I have no PhD, I have no school, I have no certificate, I've got nothing. I'm actually lucky to have a driver's license today. But I say that to say that I'm not against education or schooling. I say that if you're passionate to be somebody, to make a difference, you don't need a piece of paper to tell you can make a difference for Jesus. And that's my story. And that has gone from a prison vision into a global distribution. So I only thank God and give him the honor, and only he gets the honor for that.
Amen. And you heard Roger say it at the beginning, you know, 10, 11, 12 times. DeMond always says, you know, we're not giving people a second chance. We're giving people a fresh start, because you know what? We've all screwed up 2, 3, 4, 5, a dozen times. And there's people that we have left in our wake and injured. They didn't hurt us. And DeMond always says that we bleed on people that didn't injure us. And one of the things for us with the prison release and the prison reentry is making available men of God, men of integrity, to help guide men coming out of prison in a way that has been successful. And these men that have come forth and joined the program that Roger put forth are men of God and men of integrity. And they have such a heart for being the go-to guy for somebody that needs that. And a lot of us have difficulty asking for help because we're tough guys and we're running a facade because we got to look a certain way and we got to be a certain way. And you know what? God cannot bless who you pretend to be. He can only bless who he made you to be. And when we start getting into programs like this, Rescued or Not Arrested, we start to look at men of integrity and men of God and say, wow, I admire this a lot more than the guy on the street corner slinging dope. Because, seven out of 10 times, he's not going to live past 25. We know the odds. And now we know the odds with fentanyl and the OD deaths that we're facing week in and week out. And these men that are going into the prisons, and now, as Roger had told me just earlier, they're going back into the jail. And Roger's actually been in the jail over Zoom the last 2 years. And now they're personally being allowed to go back in physically to the jail and offer this program to the jail. And this is one of the things that we've been seeking at Fresh Start, to be able to get into the jail and offer faith services again. And I'd tell us a little bit about that, Roger.
Well, we've kind of been blessed to get invited. About 8 years ago, we got invited into the Governor Ducey's reentry circle, and as we were one of the few nonprofit Christian organizations that got involved, and that entailed helping guys out about 10 weeks prior to coming out, before they got out, to connect with opportunity to have resources with employment, housing, and accountability. What we've been doing since I've been out is that very thing. We provide opportunities for anyone and anyone, whether it be sex offenders, the untouchables. It doesn't matter what the past crime. And I want to just highlight that, because Jesus loved all lepers. And we recognize there are a lot of lepers even now in our communities that we've shown, even Christian churches are struggling in how to reach them and welcome them. So we've been kind of a model for many churches nationwide in educating them how to keep safe their children and their audiences, but yet welcoming the sinner, regardless what that past looks like, and modeling that, welcoming them and providing them job opportunities, housing opportunities. And we highlight that the important thing is accountability. And bottom line is, opportunities is all we can offer. They still have to want to change. They still have to want to pursue those opportunities. But those who do have amazing testimonies, and we see quite a few transformed men and women who have taken advantage of these opportunities, have become leaders in our communities now. But that's kind of what happens, is we want to go in there and love them and inspire them, but we want to be out here with opportunities and allow them to pursue these opportunities that are readily available to them.
And I'll tell you how wonderful that is because I can witness to this, because many, many years ago, as everybody knows, I had a gunfight with Tucson Police Department. And when they finally transported me from the hospital to the county jail, they transported me to the medical unit in the Pima County Jail, and still paralyzed one leg all the way down, and the other leg was pretty spasmodic. So I was in a hospital bed, and the chaplain at the county jail, who was the chaplain there for I think like 40 years, Danny Burgoyne, he died a few years back, just little tiny Irish guy, just the most wonderful, beautiful heart and person. He actually came in to the medical unit, and he came and he lifted me out of the bed, and he took me into the tub area. And he lowered me in the tub, and he baptized me right there in the
jail.
That's
awesome.
Back in 1985.
How cool is that?
And just incredible. And so I've been there a few times. You know, we screw up. You know, we need another fresh start. Every time I've been there, I've met somebody of faith that comes into the jail and changes lives. We just buried a friend of mine just recently, Jackie Chappelle, who is one of the most extraordinary human beings I've ever met. She suffered through cancer for 20 some odd years, and she went to be with the Lord early February. But this person carried the gospel to so many people, that carried it to the prison system, that carried it on past there to other people. So it was amazing to be at and afforded the opportunity to speak at her memorial service, because all of these people in the audience, and there were a lot of them, didn't know the result of her ministry. So Pastor Demetrius Miles from her church, TCI, asked me if I would show them the result, because she was, and Danny Burgoyne were, instrumental in bringing me to faith. And because it's making eternal differences in lives today because of what they did and because of what you're doing. And you may not see it all the time, and you may, you know, you may think that you are celebrating far too few successes, but we don't know, because the seed in the water, God causes the increase. But I'm here to tell you, bro, we love you. We love what you have done and what you are giving men like us is irreplaceable, because most of us have never had it. You know, they always say that for the prison system, we need to rehabilitate. Most of the people in the prison system have never been habilitated to begin with. So how do you rehabilitate something that's never been habilitated? We have men and women in there that can't read and write, and we're trying to charge them money to get a GED. You know, that's why I thank you, bro. And we so appreciate Rescued Not Arrested. We so appreciate Walking Free. We so appreciate the Living Free. All of these programs that are trying to reach into the prison and to be with these individuals then and upon their release. And as I always say, I think that the homeless and the prisoners are the angels that they are talking about in the Bible. When they, and every time you see somebody comes in the presence of an angel, they say, do not fear, do not fear. We don't want to embrace those things that we fear. And the homeless, we fear. The people coming out of prison, we fear. We don't want to embrace them. You know what? They have a story that is so impactful, you know, like your story. And it is our witness of our Savior in those stories that makes the good.
Well, you know, when I was in prison, I was encouraged to find out that God specializes in messed up people. You know, I just see us incarcerated. If you're incarcerated, then know that you are a prime candidate to become a soldier, an ambassador for God, because look at his MO. He's picked all the messed up people out of the Bible and turned the messes into messages of hope. You know, Paul, a murderer, and you got liars and prostitutes, and God, only God could transform that and turn it into an amazing story of hope. And I believe that's what it's all about, is putting in his hands and allowing him to do what only he can do. Nothing else can transform a mind but God. And we talk about, you know, us people in the prison system that have no structure, and, you know, we're kind of like wild animals running loose. And that's God's desire, because he's the only one, I guess, to credit through that. But he gets a hold of us. The Romans 12:2 says we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That word transform in the Greek, in the Hebrew, in Greek, is metamorphosis. So to me, I saw Madison as the cocoon, and me going in there as a caterpillar, coming out as a butterfly. And that cocoon is where he did all the work and all the miracle transformation of my mind and heart. And I think that's exactly what the prison systems have been used. God has always used the prison systems to not only transform us, but he's used it to deliver majority of the New Testament book through Paul and Peter, which were written in the dungeons and the jails of the prison system. There's something about having our undivided attention in the system, because we're way too distracted on the outside. And I just thank him for choosing me and pursuing me and rescuing me and allowing me, this ordinary guy who's got nothing. I only learn how to show up, and I show up and everything else is done. Mm-hmm. But J. Michael and all of these folks, including me, we do have a no-page structure. That means we want to serve for free. That way, our motive is never compromised, that it's never derailed, that our mission and motive is always to make a difference. It's not attached to dollars. And God is continuing to send, like J. Michaels, and I have 150 volunteers total in the male mentorship, in the federal, state, county, nationwide, internationally. And I can't tell you that this is only a miracle of God, because I don't even know day to day how it really grows so fast and stays so simple, and yet millions have been impacted. And I know that's what God can do with people who are ordinary and just hang out with Jesus, you know. And I thank you for your partnership.
Yeah, and the question that I would ask, Roger, is what do you think is most important for the people in society to know about the people in prison?
Well, one thing is, Jesus teaches us to love everyone. And that's what prisoners need. We need to know that we're welcomed and we're loved and we're accepted into their circles, even especially the church circles. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many rejection stories I have as an ex-felon. And I think if we just look to the Bible and put our fears away, you talked about fears. Mm-hmm. You know, Bible says, 2 Timothy 1:7, God does not give us a spirit of fear, power, love, and sound mind. If we could just get a hold of that and be set free from being afraid of people who are not like us, and they have a stigma behind them, if we could just welcome them and love them and be sincere and genuine and embracing them, you know, that will bring the unity of the church together that God has planned. And I want the people out there to know that the incarcerated are looking for a fresh start. And they need somebody to believe in them. If you're an employer out there, you're hiring people, they could be some of your best employees. You just got to give them a chance, give them an opportunity, and watch them grow and become your best employee. But you know, we also have flaws. You know, we have hard times. So sometimes you have to also be patient with us and be forgiving with us, and understand that, you know, we're going to make some mistakes. But continue loving others like you would love yourself, and God will really bless you with your business and with your organization, who's willing to go out there and step out and sacrifice to help somebody who's hurting, who's broken, the least of these. And it's very rewarding. I was just telling you, if I had to do this, if I had to do this for pay, I would have quit the first day. Or if I had to do this for results, I would have quit the first day, because it's not about results, but it's about being the farmer that we're called to be, to plant seeds and water seeds in the lives of people who are broken, and let God do the rest. You know, we do the best we can, and we trust God to do the rest, and He will.
We also learn that every life is valued, and that God shows no partiality toward any. He loves us equally. And those that are locked up and those that are free.
Can't categorize sin, you know? All sin is the same.
Hurt people, and broken people break people. We look to heal the traumas that put us into addiction, that put us into jail, which put us into domestic violence, which put us into all of those things that stand against us in the future. And we look to get you the help so that you can walk into your future with a more flourishing idea of what it should be. We value every life of every individual who has been incarcerated, is awaiting incarceration. We value your life, whether you are in jail, whether you are in prison, whether you are on parole. We value your life. And the reason we do is because our Savior does. And we love you because He loved us first. And we know, Roger and myself, from being locked up, It doesn't matter if it's 24 hours or it's 24 years. When you come to the realization that your freedom has been taken from you, there is something that you lose. And the only way to get that back and get that control back is to understand that in our greatest weakness, He shows His greatest strength. And we are always thankful to pray for people in their futures, and we ask that the Lord God would walk in their footsteps before they make them. I'm going to throw this to Roger for the last few. Remember May 5th at the PRC from 10 to 12. We're going to have a resource fair and a job fair for those on parole. Contact us at the Fort Tucson website and look at the community calendar, because we got a lot of stuff going on. Roger, say goodbye and let people know what you got coming up.
Rescued people rescue people.
Amen.
And let me just pray for you, Brother Tom. Father God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to be here. Bless Fresh Start. Bless Tom Damon and J. Michael and everyone out there representing you to bring love to the broken and helpless and helpless and the least of these in prison. In the name of Jesus, we pray.